With the ringing of the church bell, we welcome you to this hour of worship as it comes to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. On this first Sunday after Christmas, our worship begins on page 219 of the Lutheran hymnal. Our hymns this morning are hymns number 873, 375, 368, and 379. Pastor Bart Miller's sermon is entitled Grandfather Julius and is taken from Exodus 13, verse 14. Our service is being sponsored today by Sam Ann and Mary Yokley in honor of their father's, J.C. Bogusbier's, 96th birthday, which is today, December 30th.
Welcome all of you here to worship as we worship on our first Sunday after Christmas. And we recognize also the new year that's about to come. We will worship God today with the order of Matins on page 219. And we'll begin our worship with hymn number 873.
Thank you.
God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We turn to Psalm 111. We use that psalm as we now enter into worship with God by his invitation. We read the psalm responsively by half verses. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. Great are the works of the Lord. Full of splendor and majesty is his work. He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. He provides food for those who fear him. He has shown his people the power of his works. The works of his hands are faithful and just. They are established forever and ever. He sent redemption to his people, but he has commanded his covenant forever. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. You may be seated. On this first Sunday of Christmas, and also the day before we consider the old year going out and the new year coming, we listen to God's word, first of all, from the Old Testament. In Exodus chapter 13, where God reminds his people, even way back in the days of Moses, that the things they remember should be the things of God. We read from Exodus chapter 13, verses 1, and continuing through verse 15. The Lord said to Moses, "Consecrate to me all the firstborn, whatever is the first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both of man and of beast, is mine." Then Moses said to the people, "Remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of slavery, for by a strong hand the Lord brought you out from this place. When the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore to you and your fathers, and shall give it to you, you shall set apart to the Lord all that first opens the womb. All the firstborn of your animals that are males shall be the Lord's. Every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb, or if you will not redeem it, you shall break its neck. Every firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. And when in time to come your son asks you, 'What does this mean?' you shall say to him, 'By a strong hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt, from the house of slavery. For when Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of animals. Therefore, I sacrifice to the Lord all the males that first opened the womb, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeem.'" And this is the word of the Lord. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. Our second letter from Paul's letter to the Colossian Christians, chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." This is the word of the Lord. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. I invite you to stand for the reading of our gospel lesson. And we read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 22 through 40. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts will be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak to him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Israel. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. And this is the word of the Lord. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. We respond with the responsory at the bottom of page 221. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens. Who hear the word of God and keep it. Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. We continue with the hymn of the day, hymn 375. You may be seated. We bow our heads for prayer. Lord God and Father, thank you for making all things new. We consider this past year and put our sin, our failings, and our sorrows into your hand. And we trust that by the power of Jesus' blood and death, we are given a new life and baptism and a new hope every day. And help us trust that as a new year begins, you will use our life, our faith in Jesus, and our witness to what you have done for us to bless future generations with your light and love. Amen. One of the things God told the people of Israel after he had brought them out of the land of Egypt, out of slavery, is that he wanted them to pass on to the next generation certain things. And so in Exodus chapter 13, verses 14, God says, "And when in time to come your son asks you, 'What does this mean?' you shall say to him, 'By a strong hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt from the house of slavery.'" I want to talk to you this morning about my grandfather, Jules. Actually, it wasn't just my grandfather, he was my great-great-great-great-grandfather. Here's what I know about my grandfather, Jules Miller. He would have been 29 years in the year 1818, 29 years old. So 200 years ago, I'm assuming my grandfather Jules celebrated New Year's Eve. I don't know how they celebrated New Year's Eve back then. I don't know if they stayed up till midnight. I don't know if the New York Times Square had a ball that fell. I don't even know if New York City was there in 1818. But whatever it was, I'm sure he celebrated or observed New Year's Eve and observed the coming year, 1819. Here's what I know about my grandfather Jules, though. He was born in 1788. He was born in Germany. He was born on December 6th, and he died in 1865. The family genealogist in my family say that he was a bricklayer and he had 9 children, 6 of which survived till adulthood, and he married a girl named Maria. Now you know everything I know about my great-great-great-great-grandfather Jules. There were no pictures of him. I don't know what he looked like. I'm absolutely certain he was a handsome guy. Really don't know much about him at all. I do know that he had a son, and that son 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 had a son, and I had a son because I was one of those sons. That's all I know about him. Now, I'm imagining that on New Year's Eve, 1818, my grandfather Jules may have gotten together with some of his family, and they may have talked about all of the great things they did during that year. All the things that were so important, all the things their kids did, all the things they were planning to do. Maybe it was a great year for the crops. I know that they were all farmers as well. Maybe it was some wonderful things happened that year. I do know that during that year, one of his children was born. They probably celebrated the birth of that child and were happy to have that. I'm sure they talked about all the important things that they did during the year 1818, 200 years ago. But I'm telling you that not one of those important things they talked about is remembered today. Not one thing that they did, other than a few dates and maybe events that happened in his life that year, are remembered by his future generations, other than his name. Now, let me tell you, that's kind of depressing. Because tomorrow is New Year's Eve. And I'm going to sit around and brag about all the great things I did this year. And all the important things that happened in my life. And all the great things that went on. Some of you are going to do the same thing. You're going to talk about how excited you are about the Kansas City Chiefs because they're going to win the Super Bowl this coming year. So you may talk about all those things, but I'm telling you that if the world is still here in 200 years, your great-great-great-great-grandchildren are not going to be talking about you, unless maybe the pastor at that time talks about his great-great-great-great-grandfather in a sermon, and one of your great-great-great-great-grandchildren is a pastor. Other than that, I'm telling you that all the things you did this year and all the things that happened this year that you think are so important aren't going to be remembered by anybody. Most people won't even know who you are. And that puts into perspective for me all the things that I think are so important as I go into the new year. Because while they may be important to me today, and somebody else might think they're important, not everybody is going to remember me or what I did 200 years from now. That brings us back to the people of Israel and God talking to them about the things they thought were important. And it really puts into perspective Exodus chapter 13, verse 14 a little bit, because God told the people of Israel, "And when in time to come, your son asks you, what does this mean?" And he's really saying, all the things that have happened in your life, what do they mean? "You shall say to him, by a strong hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt and from the house of slavery." That's what God wants people to pass on to their children, their grandchildren, and future generations. And that's what the people of Israel did. They passed the story of how God brought them out of Egypt and from the house of slavery and set them free during that time. And he did it by his strong hand. It wasn't so much about what the people did. It was about what God had done for them. Think about Simeon and Anna. In their old age, not long before they were going to die, as the Bible indicates, had a couple, a poor couple, bring in a baby. And there were probably any number of babies that were brought in for circumcision and blessing in the temple in Jerusalem. And that baby was revealed to them to be God himself, the Christ, the chosen one, the Savior of the world. And in their last days, Anna and Simeon were able to give a witness to people that this baby was the Christ, the Son of God, the one who would be the consolation of Israel, the one who would save people. Honestly, we don't know anything else about Simeon and Anna. Don't know anything about their life other than little they were told. Anna was a widow. Simeon had lived a long time. God had told them he would see the Christ before he died. And other than that, we don't know anything about them. But we do know this, that they left a testimony to who Jesus was that was recorded in the Gospel of Luke and is passed on to the world as a witness to who Christ was. And I'm telling you that Simeon and Anna, if they could come back here today and be here, they wouldn't care if you knew anything about their life, but they would want you to know that Jesus Christ was their God and Savior. Now, I know one other thing about my great-great-great-great-grandfather Jules. You try to do that once in a while and keep track of all the greats. It's not that easy to do. I know one other thing about him. I know that he was baptized. And I know that he belonged to a church because all of the events of his life are recorded in the church records down in a place that used to be called Palsdorf, which did, you know, they just tell you a little about Palsdorf. I know I'm digressing a little bit, but well, I found out, I added something to my genealogist. He lived in a town called Palsdorf, and no one knew where it was. It was in Missouri somewhere, but there's no town called that. And I found out and added to our genealogy that that particular town was attacked during the Civil War over and over again by Union troops because they thought they were sympathetic to the South. But they weren't. And so they changed the name of their town. It's not that anymore. The town that we thought that my great-great-great-great-grandfather lived in, they changed it to Union Town. You ever heard of that? It's down in southeast Missouri. That is a town. And they thought that by changing to the name Uniontown, the Union troops would stop attacking them. And in the church records of a little church outside of there, my great-great-great-great-grandfather Jules' life is listed. His baptism, his marriage, the baptism of his children, his confirmation, his death, are all recorded in the church records there. So I do know he was a member of a church. And I do know that his son and grandson and his great-great-great-grandson, who was my father, went to church and were Christians. I do know that about him. And I suppose that he passed his Christian faith on to his family. And I suppose that even if he didn't know Exodus chapter 13, verse 14, which he may well have known, he knew that when the time came for him to pass on something to his sons and his grandsons and me, his great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandson, that the one thing he would pass on is this: by a strong hand, the Lord God has led me out of sin and death and hell and given me a new life in baptism, and I'm going to live with him in heaven forever. And I suppose my grandfather Jules, if he was here today, would say, I don't care if you know anything about my life, but I do care that you know what Jesus Christ did for you. I'm not going to be here in 200 years. I'm pretty sure of that. Unless they develop some kind of medication or pill that you can take to live over 200 years, I'm not going to be here. And by the way, they're working on it. I'm not sure that's a good thing or not. But if the world goes long enough, and I have great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren someday, I don't care if they know anything about my life or what I did on December 31st, 2018. Really, it doesn't matter what I did. It doesn't matter what happened in this world. All the important things don't matter. And I know it's absolute blasphemy to say, but it doesn't even matter if the Kansas City Chiefs win the Super Bowl. What matters is that my great-great-great-great-grandchildren will know that by the strong arm of God, he has redeemed my life. He has given me a new life in my baptism by the blood and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ who came into the world. And the forgiveness of sins belong to me. St. Paul said it in the epistle lesson for today. It's an absolutely beautiful passage. We should read it again, but I'm not going to. He said, if anything happens in your life that's important, it should be that you put on all of the things that Christ wants you to be. Kindness and humility and patience. And what's the last thing? Love. Love and the forgiveness of God. Because you've been forgiven by Jesus Christ, you forgive others and you love other people. And you share that love not because you want people to love you back, but because you want them to know that Jesus Christ, by a strong arm, came into this world, was born into this world, and led you out of sin and death and hell. Not just slavery in a country, but sin and death and hell in this world, and set you free from the power of the devil so that you would die and live with God forever. My grandfather Jules believed that. I'm sure of it. As a member of his church, he passed that on to the next generations. And when his son asked him what his life meant, he said, my life means Jesus Christ. And that was passed on to me, I know, by my grandfather, my real grandfather, whose name was Henry, by the way. And he never missed church. And I went to church with him. And he was one of the finest Christian men I ever knew. And when he died, he knew he was going to go to heaven. And he passed that on to my father, who was a Christian man. And I pray that I pass that on to my son and my daughters and the next generation, so that when they talk about me someday, when they see me in some family genealogy and they say, we had a relative named Bart, who would name their kid that? And I'm the only one, by the way. But they'll say, don't know much about him, but he must have been a Christian because he passed that on to our next generation. And when his son asked him what his life was all about on December 31st, 2018, he must have told his son, by the strong arm of God, he has led me out of sin and death and slavery to sin and the devil, and he's given me a new life. And that's what I want my children to know. And that's really the only thing that's important as the new year ends and as your new year ends. You can talk about all the important things you did. You can go back. I love it. You can go back and you can look on their Facebook page. They give you a summary of the year. You ever seen those? Some of you are Facebook people. Give you a summary of all the year. I use Facebook about twice a year. So I got the summary of my year, and it looks like I had a pretty boring year. I did two things, and they appear on there. Here's what you did this year. But those things aren't important. But the important thing is to know that Jesus Christ is our God and Savior. And if you know that, then your life is very important, and your new year is very important, because you'll have the opportunity
to tell people that Jesus Christ is your God and Savior, and to show the love of God that he has given to you to other people in everything you say and do. And I pray that that is important as we celebrate our new year and as we look forward to the new year to come and think about what our life this last year has meant, that we'll leave a legacy that the people of Israel left. So when our sons and daughters ask us what our life means, we point them to Jesus Christ, the only thing that needs to be remembered. Amen. And may the peace that passes our human understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. And we celebrate our faith by sharing our thankfulness to God with our offerings now.
As we close our worship, we'll use the order of matins beginning on page 227, section on prayer. We'll begin with our Kyrie, our asking God to have mercy on us, the Lord's Prayer, and our closing prayers and collects. We stand as we conclude our worship this day. Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lord God, we come to you this day at the end of a year, thanking you for all the blessings of the year. We ask you to forgive us for all the sins that we have done and all the failings that we have accomplished. But we know that as we put them into your hands, you have sent your Son to die for those sins and to make up for our sins and our failings. And you promise even to use those things for your good and gracious glory. We thank you for the opportunities we've had in this past year, and we give thanks for the ones that you will give us in the year to come. Continue to bless this congregation and all that they do as they go through their life as a Christian family. And bless each and every one of us as we recognize that the most important thing and the only important thing in our life is to pass on to our sons and daughters and the generations to come the knowledge that by your strong hand and by the love of Jesus Christ and his blood and suffering, we have been given his resurrection and life. And as people remember us, we want them to remember that this is what we believe and this is what you have done for us. Continue to guard and keep all of us in your grace. Lord, our Heavenly Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, you have now safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same way with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you all. And you may be seated for our closing hymn, number 379.